Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Hello and welcome to the Weekly Conversation. I'm your host, Kyle, the man with the mic. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the conversation. This Thursday on the conversation, something that Jackie Evancho, who is proud to play at Trump's inauguration, she wants to meet with him, and I'll get you the reasons why. Senator Tom Cotton of Springdale, Arizona, holds a town hall meeting. They had to move it because they had over 1,000 RSVPs. Gee, why do you think Trump got elected? Because people want to feel like their voice is being heard. I guarantee you almost anyone in this country could hold a town hall meeting and you would get tons of people wanting to come because they feel like they're not being heard by their constituents. Hey, you know, he represents me, but, you know, you don't want to hear what I have to say. I want to get into that. Also, Mike Pence, he went to Missouri to the cemetery and he actually rolled up his sleeves and helped clean up. Or as the liberals would say, it's a photo shoot, but where was Obama's photo shoot? When they had the flooding in Louisiana, it was like 9 days after the flooding crested that he showed up, you know? Yeah, that brought me to tears too. Also, probably the biggest news of all, I'm quitting my job. I just won the Powerball. No, not really. Someone told me that this morning. I'm like, that the Powerball jackpot was hit and it was, the ticket was bought in my hometown. I'm like, whatever. And I looked it up and it said, yes, the Powerball jackpot of $435 million was won. And in my hometown, the gas station it was at was a Super Test Mini Mart, but I don't ever really go there. I've gone there a couple times because I used to drink Monsters a lot and they were like $2 for $3. They're really cheap, but I don't really go there. But I'm going to get into that because that is the biggest news in this town. Who won and do I know them and will they help me out? Not that I would ask for any money or anything. This is what really gets me. I want to talk about Massachusetts. There's an elementary school where they used to do a High Five Friday with cops and parents. The cops have stopped this because some parents are afraid that some students are going to be uncomfortable with cops at their school. I'm like, really? Okay. I don't know. What's this world coming to? If, well, my son might be offended because a cop comes to school and he might beat me, my son, because I mean, really? I don't. Lord help me. Guantanamo Bay is an important intelligent asset. Really? Yeah. See, I want to get into that because that's been kind of a topic of discussion in the last couple of days. A great thing, a Walmart worker pays for half of a family's of five's bill at a Walmart in Columbia, South Carolina, and it's going viral. And we all need good news, especially around here with the killings of two teenage girls, 13 and 14. And it's just Abigail and Libby. I mean, where I'm from, it's a small, like in, I've, Delphi is sort of like a Lafayette. Almost, it's hard to go to a place in Lafayette where people don't know who you are. It's one of those type communities, and they have rallied around that family. And I want to welcome you and thank you. Okay, Zephaniah 3. I'm really bad with names, but I got this one because I asked my wife. And she helped me because I'm great. I'm just bad. That's why I'd hate to be a substitute teacher. I'll get into that later. But Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice you. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Whew. Thank you. And take that to heart and think about that as you're going through your day today. And welcome to a wonderful conversation. We are the host of the $435 million jackpot ticket. And that Powerball ticket, actually, I don't know what it is in every state, because I want to get into that, because this is like the biggest news of all. I think in 97 or something, the Powerball, someone won it here too, like a $13 million one or whatever. But with this, at least here, that gas station is getting $100,000 for being the winning thing. So I don't know how it works in every state, if every state they get $100,000. But they're getting $100,000. And wow, it's amazing, because I didn't believe it at first. I mean, I could believe that the Powerball jackpot was won, but I didn't think it was local, and it was, and it's crazy, because it is the seventh highest jackpot in Powerball history, and if you take the lump sum, it's $263.5 million. If you take the overall, it's $435 million over 30 years before taxes. But think about it like this, folks. If you take the $263.5 million and divide it by 30, you would be getting for the next 30 years, if you took the lump sum in payments, $783,333.33 every year for 30 years. That's if you, and I'm sure you get more if you take the 30 payments over 430. If you take the 435 million and you divide that over 30 years, I think you get more money, because they take less out in taxes. Because I know so many people, I'd take it at a wage. I'm like, well, you know what? I would take it over time. That way I'm guaranteed every several years money coming in case, who knows? You never know. Because I know, if I've known, like I've said before, I knew someone that won the $1 million and the scratch off. And, you know, she, everybody and the mother asked her for a dollar. I need, you know, she'd be bankrupt. She had to quit where I worked. Every people were coming out of the woodwork, all these family and friends trying to get money out of her. When they take you to court and all this stuff, saying, yeah, I'm owed money. Yeah, I'm, you know, and it's not easy when it's nonstop, 24/7, 365, you know, it's just, but that's why if I ever did it, I would have somebody collect it for me under a foundation or something, and I would sit there and I'd be like, I'd still work, I'd still act like everything's hunky-dory, and hey, if I want to, you know, and then go from there. And then I would probably, okay, let's go to Michigan where we can put up, where we can buy a house where people probably won't know I want it, so I can just be my own person, do my own thing, so I don't have to, so they wouldn't know, and I could start a business that I could make lose money, so I could have a tax write-off every year. But anyway, that's like the big talk of the town here, you know, because not much happens in lay flat. Indiana, that's what we call it, lay flat, because it's like completely flat. I mean, you can fall asleep going down the highway and not have to worry about going anywhere, because we're not in the mountains where there's like turns and twists. It's like basically straight. You know, on our roads, there's a north, south, east, or west. You know, it's not that hard to get lost. But just because I'm implying some of us are rednecks doesn't mean we're very smart and very intelligent. We have one of the, what is it, like the fourth highest, like one of the top, like the fourth best university. Its engineering program is one of the best. Its RHIT program is one of the best. So, hey. Okay. I think it's time for me to sing my version of the Michigan fight song. I can't really sing it on the air, sorry. I got that idea from Weird Al. My wife loves Weird Al. I can, no, she don't. But anyways, talking about singers, Jackie Evancho wants to meet with the president because she is outraged and kind of disheartened that men can't use the women's bathroom and women can't use the men's bathroom and all this transgender bathroom stuff doesn't happen because I guess she has a sister, an older sister that's transgender. And this is my thoughts on the whole situation and everything. I'll put it like this. They have a show on Food Network, like the Cooks and Cons, where they have, like, some people are a professional chef, some are a con that don't know how to do anything. They've never cooked. Can the experts call out who's who? Well, it depends, because I know some people that have never cooked in a commercial kitchen, but at home, they're a Julia Child. They can make some amazing, they're like Charlie Trotter at home. They've just never cooked in a commercial kitchen, so, but my point is, take 10 people, line them up. How can you tell with those 10 people who is transgender and who's not? I could say, you know what, I've always felt like I'm a girl, so how would you know if I'm being honest or not? You don't know. I mean, how do you know that that guy is not going into the ladies' bathroom just so he can get his jollies on, hearing two women next to him going to the bathroom? You don't know. If you have male parts, you should use the male bathroom. If you have female parts, you should use the female bathroom. They've done studies on this. That's why if you want to have that reassignment surgery where you can actually turn your wee-wee into the female part and vice versa, you have to go through over a year of counseling with psychiatrists and psychologists and all this stuff to so that they can 100% tell that, yes, you want to be a woman. I know you were born a man, but you believe 100% in your heart you are a woman, because they've had so many people, I think, what is it like? I think like 45 to 50% of the reconsignment surgeries are even higher. Like 12 years after the fact, they wish they could go back. They really don't have that strong female desire that they thought they really didn't think they were, oh, I'm a female. I got to have this stuff. And now that they've done it, now their bodies have changed and their things have changed and they're not really that woman that they thought they were. I can understand if there's like our son is 18 years old. Since he was 1 year old, he wondered where his pink dress was. Granted, he is a boy, but he has always, since day one, Mom, where's my dress? Where's this? His first words are out of his mouth. Why do you call me a boy? I'm a girl. Those were his first words, not mommy, daddy. He goes, you know, that's a little different if they've always been that way. But, you know, that's why they have this year-long plus thing to ensure, yes, this person, without a doubt, they can have their parents come in here and say, yeah, you know, he would go as a cheerleader for Halloween. He would go as a girl for Halloween. He's always been a girl, though he was born, you know, before, so that they, you know, I wouldn't want my kid going into a bathroom and seeing a chick. I mean, if I honestly went to a bathroom and there was a woman in there, I'd be like, okay, I'll wait. That would just creep me out. Sorry. That's just me. I'm not offending anybody. I mean, it's not like someone goes down a Brooklyn alleyway at 2 o'clock in the morning and sees a black man and sees, oh, look at that wonderful Christian nice guy. No, I guarantee everyone's thinking, okay, he's a gang member. He's probably going to shoot me and rob me and take all I have. That's what everyone's going to think that. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, Native American, or whatever. You're not going to go to Compton, California at 2 in the morning and see a bunch of people and think they're friendly. You're going to like, oh, crap, I need to get in the car. I'm in the wrong area. Oh, well, what did I do? That's just the facts of life. Like Carlos Mencia said, if you ever saw that thing, not for the easily offended, we all think in terms of race. You know, that's just, that's the facts of life. I would weird out if I saw a woman in the men's bathroom, and I'm sure my wife would weird out if there was a guy in there. I mean, if he had the reconsignment surgery and all that, then I'd say, okay, well, that's, he is really gone. He really believes he is. That is 100% proof, because to have that surgery done, you have to go through a lot to have it done. They just don't go, Melissa, okay, you want to be a boy, we'll make you a boy. No, you have to go through all kinds of psychological testing and all this stuff to prove that, yes, that way you don't get the surgery done, and then 5 years later.
Yeah, I'm going to be Melvin for you.
Huh. Your dad would love that.
Yeah.
Don. You know, so I guess he really wants to meet and discuss this, and I'm like, he basically lined out what he was going to do, and so, you know, he's actually done what he said he's going to do, so hey, you can't complain that, I can't believe he's doing this, you know, how can you complain about his campaign promises when he's, because I think when he was running for office, the liberals complained that he was going to do, yeah, he's a lot of talk, but he ain't going to walk, he ain't going to do what he said, now he's doing what he said, now they're bitching that he's doing what he said. Yep, that's what you get when you elect a billionaire businessman that doesn't have to do this, that can sit on his butt and just live a cush life. I wish I could just lie in a bed all day and just have someone give me a massage 24/7 and relax. Yeah, but you know what? That's not the case. But Donald Trump could probably do that, but he decided not to. Senator Tom Cotton of Springdale, Arizona, held a town hall meeting that had to be moved to a huge, bigger auditorium because they had over 1,000 RSVPs on the Facebook page. Gee. That's not a surprise to someone like me, because so many Americans feel like their voice is not being heard, and they want to be heard. They want to feel like, hey, guess what? You know what? For the first time when with Donald Trump, I felt like someone actually was speaking to me. You know what? I don't have to do this. I'm a billionaire. I got more money than I could ever. Okay, if I stopped working right now, I would have $80 million coming in every year, year after year, till way beyond my death. I don't have to sit there and get in front of the stage and tell you how I'm going to fix this country, make it better, and have 95% of the media go off on me, 90% of the people protest against me, start riots. I don't have to do this. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. It's what needs to be done. And people are starting to wake up and say, hey, you know. And it shows with Tom Cotton's town hall. People want to be heard. Whether you agree with me or not, or I agree with you or not, at least he's hearing my message. I've written Senator Todd Rokita many times and several of my representatives because I support medical cannabis. And that's why we live in a democracy, because they don't always agree with me. At least they will listen to me and they will write me. And I've gotten like a, what would be the equivalent to like a page and a half back written from them. They may not 100% agree with me, but at least it shows that they care, that they want to hear what I have to say. And that's something that the American people feel has been lost. Especially with Obama win. Okay, folks, I know no one wants this, but we're going to pass Obamacare. Yes, this Obamacare, this is my pride and this is my legacy. This is my crowning achievement. Oh, yeah. No, I'm not required to be on this. No, I'm exempt from it. Yeah. Oh, the Congress, yeah, they're exempt from it, you know. People are tired of having all these wonderful crowning achievements that these senators and governors and presidents pass, but then they're somehow magically not having to use it. They're exempt from it. A couple of my friends, I went to them and I said, "Yes, sir, you're President Barack Obama, the one who his most crowning achievement, Obamacare, was so great that he exempted himself." And that he got it's funny because he started laughing at me. But we're so on the opposite ends of the political spectrum that if it ever gets out of hand, all I have to do is say, "Well, you may like Obama and I may like Trump, but remember, Jesus Christ is king." And then, yep, amen. And then we start talking about the Bible or who knows what. But that's one thing we never argue, because we all agree about the Bible, you know. So, but yeah. Yep. I just, anywho, but it's just one of those things that people are finally saying, "Hey, I'm having someone with Donald Trump and some of these congressmen and senators that feel like they're listening to us." Even though they may not agree. I mean, over the weekend, they had a Missouri cemetery was vandalized, a Jewish cemetery. And Mike Pence went there within days to, you know, send his thoughts and prayers and condolences and also help clean up. He reminded me of Jimmy Carter. He rolled up his sleeves and he got to work. Or as the liberals would call it, a photo shoot. But yeah, how many times did Obama do a photo shoot? Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's flooding in Louisiana, but 9-10 days later, he shows up and like an afterthought. If that was Trump, he or one of his administration people would be down there the day it happened. Either him or Mike Pence or somebody would be down there saying, "Yes, the governor has been on the phone with Trump. This is what he's going to do, yada, yada. This is how we're helping out as a nation. We've gotten in contact. The 700 Club, K-Love, they're going to help. They're going to have some of their mission teams come down there. They're going to be offering food, clothing, some shelter." It's nice to see that you have people that are willing to do stuff and not just, you know, he didn't have to do a photo shoot. He didn't have to be there, if you want to call it that. He didn't have to sit there and take his time and help out and clean up. He did that because that's the type of person he is and the type of American we want in the White House and the type of America we want. It just made my day to finally see, you know, the White House is back. The America that I grew up in is coming back. Thank God. I mean, well, you've heard about how, like, there are people out there that, like, well, that are told to take their shirt because you might offend somebody if they have their USA shirt inside out and all this stuff. And I talked about how, you know, then how can you have an American flag flying? Well, this is really ridiculous. I think it, I don't get this. It's a Massachusetts school that the police were doing a High Five Friday. And what they're doing is they were taking and going to the school on Friday, and these cops were high-fiving the kids and all this, and there are parents that were concerned that the kids, some of them might be uncomfortable with this. Really? Okay, if the kids are coming to school and the cops have like riot gear on with the billy club. Okay, this is what the High Five Friday means. You walk by me, I'm going to knock you upside the head with a billy club. Okay, but when they're trying to show that we are cops, we're not to be feared, we're your friends, we're the good guys. Yes, there might be a couple corrupt cops, but that's 1% of the population of every single cop out there. And you're going to have people that, oh, well, there might be some uncomfortable kids with that. Lord help me. I mean, what I'm waiting for, honestly, is for them, for a petition for like a school mascot, you know? Well, I'm offended by, they have a donkey for a mascot, and what that means is jackass, and that offends me, and, you know, because, I mean, I'm really offended by that, so we need to change the mascot, because, you know, there might be some kids that are uncomfortable with a jackass as a mascot. When is it going to end? I guess when I grew up, they didn't have those, like training underwear. Okay, you wore diapers. And when you were done with diapers, you wore underwear. If you wet your pants or you crapped your pants, you had to learn to deal with it. I don't think you want to sit down. Your pants are full of you know what, but hey. You know, somewhere along the line, they went from the diaper to the training underwear to it never came off, and you just probably got bigger underwear until the kids started wearing Depends in high school, and now you got a nation full of whiny, complaining little snowflakes. Thank you. I don't get it, you know, but I guess it's, you know, I grew up in a different era. You know, now kids are like, I want SpongeBob. You better get me SpongeBob. You better buy me SpongeBob. When I was a kid, it's like, I want to have Arnie's Pizza. Okay, we had it twice a year. We got this at home. We got that at home. Okay, we'll eat that. I would have loved to have the Arnie's Pizza, but hey, I had food in my belly. I had something to eat. I was grateful for what I had. I'm sure when it came time to Christmas, I was probably the biggest, I gotta have this, I gotta have that. Now I'm really mad because I played with the damn things instead of keeping them in the box, because now they're worth like a gazillion dollars. But then, I mean, imagine getting your kid a toy and he just leaves it in the box and stares at it. Look at that. That is a Voltron action figure in pristine condition. I got it on Christmas yesterday and I'm not going to take it out of the box. I couldn't do that. I ripped the box up, tore it up, and in 3 days the thing was broken, and hey. But there was a time when I'm like, okay, you know what? You got to win, lose, or draw at some point, folks. You know, there's no drawing in this. You either pass English or you don't. You either pass math or you don't. You either pass English or you don't. There's no, well, okay, well, I'm just going to call my mom up and have her bitch at the teacher so that she is passive me anyways, even though I should fail, you know, whatever. Because I don't really like her and she don't like me, and that's what we're going to say, so I can just get passed on to the next grade, you know. Oh, I know. Mom, I need help because this math teacher screwed up because he's mixing letters and numbers in the math problems, and that's not right. And, you know, so if you can help me. But then when you have college professors that go along with this crap. Okay, folks, welcome to college, folks. I know that I'm going to make this easy on you, folks. You're all going to pass this class because I know since Trump is president, you're going to have a hard time concentrating for 4 years. So we're just going to go ahead and give you degrees. Don't worry about it. So you don't even have to come to class. You're going to get a degree in 3 years anyways, because I know you're going to be distraught and not be able to study or work or do anything because Trump won. So I don't get it. But that's this world in a nutshell. I mean, they've been talking recently about how now that we got Trump in the White House, hey, instead of closing Guantanamo Bay, it is an important intelligence asset. Let's get it. But, you know, I mean, we can't waterboard. We can't do anything to gain information from these people. But they can take about 35 gay people from the Middle East and put them in a cage and set them on fire or dump the cage into water and have them drowned. You know, they can chop Christians' heads off, and that's perfectly legal, but we can't waterboard. How dare, during the Bush administration, those military people waterboarded? I'm saying, yes, I did. You didn't see those Twin Towers come down? You didn't see those commercial airliners fly into the Twin Towers? You didn't read, you didn't hear the list of names of people that died that day? Gee. So I guess you think it's okay for them to chop our heads off and slam planes in the Twin Towers and kill people and, you know, kill gays by drowning them or setting them on fire. But, you know, I mean, we can't waterboard. We can't. If I was the President Bush, I'd say, well, actually, we should just sit there and say, okay, tell us what you know. You got 10 seconds or you get your head chopped off next. And at worst, if we don't get any intelligence, oh, well, we killed 30 ISIS members. Now, I know that you killed 4,000 Americans on 9/11, but we're going to give you some blankets and cocoa because, you know, we feel bad that they tried to waterboard you to get information. That's just so wrong. No serial killer should be treated like that. No. See, that's why we support sanctuary cities, because, see, we need to have cities where if you're a serial killer and you've been, and you're from Mexico and you're here illegally, or you're from El Salvador, or you're from Canada, or wherever you're from, and you're here illegally, and we've tried to deport you, but the sanctuary city won't allow you to be deported, and then you kill a bunch of people. You know, you need to have more rights than the American citizens that were born here and have actual green cards. You know, if you get a chance, you need to get and go to Box's page and watch Judge Jan Piro. Can't pronounce it. She's a news anchor on, she's on Fox, and she's a judge, and hear her comments on CPAC about how we have freaking sanctuary cities where people that don't even have, they're illegal, and they have more rights and more benefits than the people that were born here that have a green card. Incredible. I mean, it's just, you know, I just can't believe that they're like, well, that, oh, we need to get rid of Guantanamo Bay and free all these people. I don't understand. I don't get it. I just don't understand why we take. Okay, then why did we put them in there anyways if you're just going to let them go? If we can't try to do anything to get information out of them. I don't know. Call me crazy, but, you know, that's just my thoughts. Just about 25 minutes left in the program. I want to thank you all for tuning in wherever you are around the world. New York, California, whatever, welcome. We actually got some decent news in Columbia, South Carolina. I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name because it is, like, so out there. It's not even. But Ashley and Michael Jordan are a family of five. They got three kids and them two. And his whole paycheck, they have to try to buy groceries with. And they hate going grocery shopping because it takes 99% of his paycheck to get the groceries they need. But then, okay, then how do they pay for anything else? And, you know, she's a stay-at-home mom and things are real tight. And the photos have gone viral about a Walmart cashier who actually stepped up and paid for half of their bill. And if you know anything about Walmart, they don't pay that much. And it's what she did. You know, it just to hear that someone that, hey, I don't have much, but here, I'm going to pay for half of your groceries. I just gets to you because, I mean, you know, in the 60s, you want to know who was a badass? Melissa's dad and my dad. All the Vietnam vets and all the Korean War vets in World War I and World War II. I don't know what they've been through, but, you know, just like this lady, I don't have much, but here you go. I'll buy half your groceries. That way you have some money for some other things you might need. Maybe you can splurge and go get a Redbox movie. That's why I have no problem when I'm at a restaurant and I want to buy his meal. What is it, $20 maybe to buy a meal for somebody? I don't have to do it. I just do it. I just try to pay it forward. It's what I do. That's it's not rocket science, folks. But why people think rocket scientists are so smart, I have no idea. But anyways, it's not hard to help out people. If everyone helped out, this world would be so much better. You know, if all you liberals that are, instead of protesting this immigration thing, why aren't you preparing to take them into your home and help them out? Why don't you provide for them? Give them clothing. Give them a place to live. Give them food. Because, see, they can't work, so they can't provide. You will be their provider. Just a thought, you know, I mean, since you want them here, you should be the sole caretakers and providers of these people. Wow. I mean, I just think how much better this world would be if we all came together. Last I knew, I could be wrong, but Mike Pence isn't a Jew. But he went to a Jewish cemetery and helped out. You can say whatever you want, but he's doing it because it's the right thing to do. He didn't have to do that. Look at all the things Obama didn't do. Mike Pence could just sit there for an American, got his head chopped off, and now I'm playing golf, whatever. Wait till the ninth hole, then I'll come out and I'll quick say something, yeah, whatever. American got his head chopped off, who cares? Yeah, I gotta go back and play golf, bye. He could be like Obama. He's not. You know, just because you're, just because my uncle, his grandfather, his father, his brother's cousin's third uncle, my dad, his brother, just because everyone in your family is in prison doesn't mean you have to be. You can be that one person that says, you know what? I'm not going to be in prison. I'm going to be better than that. That's the thing that gets me when all they do is they go back and forth and they bitch and complain. Well, Bush did this, and well, then Obama did that, and Clinton did this, and instead of saying, okay, well, who fixed it? Who said enough is enough and said, I'm not doing it? No one. You can say Bush didn't, they were having problems with the VA when Bush was in the office. Okay, well, he gave that stuff to the Obama administration and they didn't even do anything about it. So, you know, if Obama would have fixed the VA problem, hey, cha-ching, but no. You have people arguing left and right about, He touched me. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. No, he didn't. Yeah, he did. No, he didn't. And no one solves the problem. Well, Barack Obama's played more rounds of golf than any president. Well, George Bush did this and this. Okay, well, just because George Bush does it, does it make it right for Obama to do it? Since my dad and his uncle and 20 generations down the line are all serial killers, does that make it okay for me to be one? No. You should be that generation that says, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to rise above. I'm going to be better. So, it's one of those things. I never thought I'd see a society where, you know, that high five with cops, someone's going to be offended. Well, you had a circus theme like school carnival and there were clowns there and I was offended and I got scared. And okay. Grow up. Thank you all so much for tuning in, folks. I'm going to get into this because this is kind of a... Some of you won't understand this a little bit because it's a local story, but two young girls, Abigail Williams and Liberty Germain, were killed in Delphi, which is right down the road. And they have audio and a photo that's been enhanced of what they believe, and And there's speculation into it. I believe that the cops know he's the killer. The audio, they did a loop of the audio because they've sent audio out and I can't decipher what it is. You just hear, it sounds like, if you ever watch those like paranormal lockdown or those ghost hunters, and it's like, I heard that. He said, Joanne. Yeah, that's what we got. And I could replay that thing on my DVR, rewind that thing like 50 times. I'd never get that. It said like, no, or Joanne, or like, leave now, or... Yeah, it said like, leave now. I got, yeah, that's what we heard. We heard this. No way. I can't understand what the deciphering, I can't decipher it. And supposedly it's to help you hear, because I guess... Before she died, she recorded his voice. Or before he attacked her, or whoever, they believe. And they're not releasing the whole thing, but you would think they would release enough so it makes sense. Because it's like the clip they give is like 12 seconds, but it's like looped like 10 times. And it's just sad. And I mean, but the way the community's rallied around, it means, you know, that family just, it just means the world to them that, you know, that we're there. And I think they 99.9, they know he did it. And I don't know if the audio that they're not sharing has like a lot of vulgarity or why they're not sharing it. Or you would think there'd be just enough, I mean, there'd be more than there was given. So you could understand, or at least, because to me, I listen to it, and I'm like, I still don't, okay, no. It's hard to tell what's like the outside-y, static-y kind of stuff on the phone, and what's the actual voice, and so. I would love if anyone out there has heard that and knows what is actually being said on it, because I think it might be like one or two words. I'd love to know. So I can share it with my listeners. So. You know, since this country is doing so bad, you know, the Dow closed for a 10th straight record high. Gee. Must be rough. It must be rough, you know, this economy and everything and all these jobs coming back, you know. I don't know what to do because Trump's bringing jobs back and I'm going to have to get out of my parents' basement and I'm going to have to actually work to make a living and I'm not going to just live off the government. And I'm going to have student loans I'm going to have to pay back because Hillary Clinton didn't make it in the White House. And since she didn't make it in, college isn't free. Join the club. I had to pay back my student loans. So, it's not fun. The only thing I will say is I've heard there are people that have been like, okay, well, yeah, I'm in 3 months from today, I'm going to have like $1,500 in student loan bills a month I'm going to have to pay. That's not including rent, gas, electric, anything. That's not one. I'll have to make $1,500 a month just to pay my student loan bills. And I've heard there are some people that have to live with their parents just because of that. Because, well, they said, oh, you live with the parents. She goes, well, my student loan bills are $1,500 a month. And that's not, you know, where am I going to find a job right out of college? I'm just going to make like $2,500 a month. Well, the $1,500 would just cover my student loans. I would need another $1,000 if I want to get a place to live and, you know, food, shelter, clothing. So that I kind of get. That I get. I'm not saying I don't get any of the other side of it, but yeah, it's hard to believe. I'm going to quick get into this. The NASCAR season is starting. They got the Can-Am duels. It used to be the Gatorade duels. I'm just so confused anymore because they keep changing sponsors anymore. Because it used to be the Budweiser Shootout. Now it's like the Clash. Wasn't that a band? I'm just saying. But you know, the Can-Am duels. It used to be the Gatorade duels and all this. So it's going to be an interesting season. They claim Dale Jr. is on cloud nine. And since he got married, he's like, they've never seen him this happy. And holy cow. Wow. I just want to give you an update on the final lap. Dale Jr. was first. And because he got with no one behind him, he went back to like 8th place. Now he's up to 6th. Wow. And if you don't know about the Gatorade duels, is they do qualifying for the top 2 spots, 1st and 2nd, and then they do the duels to figure out the running order for the rest of the Daytona 500. NASCAR is totally different than any other sport because it's not really a sport. Actually, some people say, you know, everything else is a game, NASCAR is a sport. But with NASCAR, we have our Super Bowl right out of the get-go. We have our, you know, the biggest race of the year is at the very beginning. So the most prestigious kind of thing. So it's just interesting. And Chase Elliott won the first duel and Denny Hamlin won the second duel. So it's going to be fun. I got Sunday off. I don't know about you guys, but I'll be in front of the TV watching the race. Yeah, me and I'm taking my wife and my sister this weekend, and we're going to go see Casting Crowns. They're coming to Purdue, so going to have a nice little weekend off. Just nice to have some great things to talk about. You know, I'm not a Debbie Downer. But like I've said in some of my other programs, I look at both sides of it. And I try to look at both sides of every issue. I don't try to be the one-sided guy. Yeah, I'm very conservative. But I try to look at it from the standpoint of, I understand. I had to pay back my student loans. I understand that, well, I'm going to have to make $1,000 just to pay my student loans back every month. That's not paying any bill. That's not paying for rent. That's not paying for a car. That's not paying for electric, food, anything. Nothing. So I understand that. You know, I try to look at all the issues. Like I've said before, are there some great people that should have gotten that should come in here that are refugees? Sure, there probably are, but that's why we get a vet to make sure that we're letting in only who should be let in. You know? I kind of look like this. I don't know if you ever heard of, well, I guess it was on one of those like idol shows that had a Danny Gokey was on there, and of course he's going to be there. And one of my friends goes, "Oh, I just can't wait to see him because I, well, she, well, this girl that she's going with was going to go with her hubby at the time, but they broke up. So she, my friend is Natasha's going with her, and she's like, oh, I've watched, I've seen him since he was on that idol show, and now to see him live and all this stuff. And she's like, it's going to be cool to see Casting Crowns. And she goes, I bet you $100. I don't know their songs, but as soon as you play off that Casting, okay, yeah. Okay, Casting Crown sings this song and that song and this song and that. Okay, yeah. Okay, so they sing Who Am I? They sing Praise You in the Storm. Okay. I can only imagine, though, that's Mercy Me. I'm just letting you know. And you go through the list and you'll say, okay. So the East and West. Oh, wow, they wrote that? Yeah, they did that. They did The Voice of Truth, all these songs. Okay. Unspoken, Start a Fire. Okay, yeah. Wow. And then you start hearing all these songs. Like, yeah, I've heard these songs. I know who. Yeah, and that's it. As soon as you hear about 3/4 of the songs, you there might be only a couple songs you've never heard. You know, so. But think about it like this, and this is how I kind of feel, and this is what I try to do. Mandisa was on one of those. The one that has like the America's Got Talent they had with Simon. And Simon's like, okay, you did, okay. Yeah, you got a good voice and everything, but no one wants to hear this Mary Mary gospel crap. No one wants to hear that Mary Mary gospel crap. I'm like, how'd you feed your way? What's wrong with Mary Mary? They're incredible. And of course, she followed God and not Simon, and look at where she is today. She's an overcomer. You know, you can be that person that listens to Simon, or you can be that person like Mandisa that listens to God. And that's what I try to do. No one's perfect. I saw someone posted this thing like, Christians for Trump Facebook page and that all this, and I'm like, really? And she's going off. I'm like, well, technically, if you were truly to follow Jesus, you would be like the disciples. You would give up every earthly possession. You wouldn't be married. You'd leave your wife, your family, your kids, and everything to follow Jesus. Bye-bye, Mom and Dad. Bye-bye, everyone. I'm following Jesus. Yes, I want to have pizza tonight for dinner. I'm sinning because I am lusting over pizza because I really want that for dinner. Instead of wanting Jesus. Because if you truly read the Bible, he who drinks from the well and eats from the vine will never hunger or never thirst. I mean, the only perfect person was Jesus. These people out there that are preaching the gospel that you're going to hell because you're not going to go to the church today. You're not going to hear the good word of the Lord today. Well, the Bible says that Jesus judges me, not you. So, ziplock it. Yes, yes, that's... No one's perfect, folks. You never know what God's going to do. That whole support group I started for my myopathy was for me. I never thought it would have 200. I remember one time, for some reason, there was like one night where I had like click, click, click. I must have added like 30 people or like 20 people. I'm like, wow. It's amazing. And what I thought would be my help. I need help. Help me. Turned out to, hey, two guys from Turkey are getting to talk to each other because they have a hard time. Okay. What you would consider a guy that you would probably get rid of. And, okay, we're done. We're finding our doctor. He's probably like great in their country because they probably don't have the best medical. But hey, that's how it goes. Something that I thought was going to be me turned out to be helping a lot of people. And people are starting to realize, hey, I'm not the only one that deals with this, or I'm not the only parent. And how do you cope with your daughter having this? How do you deal with this? And I have Facebook conversations with people where we write private messages, and, you know, and my wife understands, you know, if I say, hey, I'm talking to someone, all I have to say is I'm talking to someone, and she 99.9% knows it's my conversation, and she understands, and she's like, thank you for what you're doing. And I'm like, no, thank God, because what I thought was a group that was only for me is helping so many people. And maybe that's you. Maybe there's something you deal with. Hey, and we can't find a place to live. Maybe you can work with Habitat to get to build an apartment complex or something. Who knows? Instead of relying on people, start something. And you know, you'll never know what can happen. I never thought in a million years the conversation would do anything. I thought, okay, yep. I'm just gonna close it eventually because we're gonna have like two people, me and someone else, and they're never there because there's no one there. And now you got tons of people on there. Got about 90 seconds left or so in the program. Oh, I thank you all so much for tuning in. But yeah, that's why I say, it's a conversation you're a part of. Get up. Do something. I have a myopathy. And yes, every day it's like, okay, I don't want to get out of bed, but I do the best I can. Yeah, I play in a dart league. And by the end of the night, my arm is sore as hell, but it's what I want to do. And I try to do what I try to do as much as I can where my body allows. So I want to thank you all so much for tuning in, and I hope you see someone that shows you an open eye perspective that says, hey, well, you know what? Look at this. He's kind of showing both sides of an issue. So he's not just, yeah, there's 12 things bad about this and one thing good, and he's focusing on the one thing good. He's talking, yeah, well, this one thing's really great, but here's some negatives. Or here's a bunch of positives, but here's a huge negative. And this negative may outweigh the positives. So I want to thank you so much. And remember, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine, together, our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honors. Until next Tuesday, good night, goodbye, and God bless. Bye.